episode 34 of the Gerwick Report. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerwick.net, along with my longtime tag team partner, Frank D. Another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast for June the 28th, 2014, the night before Money in the Bank 2014. We're going to talk about that pay-per-view coming up and all the latest wrestling stories and headlines we're going to get into in this edition. And let's say hello to Frank D.
Hey, what's going on, Steve? How you doing, man?
Doing good. It's Saturday night. We're doing a kind of a weekend edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. I want to remind everybody real quickly, if you're not going to be ordering the pay-per-view or you don't have the WWE Network, or if you just want to follow along with us during the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on Sunday night, go to Gerwick.net for live coverage. We also have live coverage of Raw. We have live coverage of the SmackDown TV tapings during the week on Tuesday night. So definitely follow Gerwick.net for all your pro wrestling news. And for the Gerwick Report podcast, Frank, we're on TuneIn, as we've mentioned before. We're on iTunes, and we're also on Spreaker now. So we got another platform cleared. So many more ways, Frank, for the listeners out there to check out the Gerwick Report podcast.
Absolutely, and it's all free.
Absolutely, and the craziest thing the other day, Frank, I'm on my Roku, and I'm looking through the channels, and all of a sudden there's TuneIn. So I said, okay, I'm going to try this TuneIn channel on Roku. So I download it, the app, the channel. So then I just type in G-E-R-W-E-C-K, and there are our podcasts available through TuneIn on Roku. So I think if you have any smart device, a PlayStation, an Amazon TV, if you look for TuneIn and you download it, suddenly you can get the Gerwick Report there. And through Spreaker as well. Just go to Spreaker. You can download the app as well. Just type in Gerwick, and you can listen to the Gerwick Report 24/7. And as Frank D says, free.
That's right.
We don't charge for our podcast. Some of those other podcasts out there, Frank, they actually charge you to listen to their shows.
Yeah, we never do that. We don't charge for any type of news that you read on the website. There is no premium section. It's all the same. And you will never, ever find a donation box on the Twitter or on the website asking you guys for anything. We do this because we want to do it, because we love the business and we enjoy doing what we do.
Yeah, no PayPal windows to donate your money. We don't do that here at the Gerwick Report and Gerwick.net. We just appreciate you listening to the podcast and spreading the word about our podcast. And we're getting more and more social media out there, Frank. I'm seeing more tweets for our podcast. In fact, Silas Young out there retweeted our link to our last podcast. I guess he enjoyed what you said about him and the Chris Benoit comparison.
You know what? I don't come on here and I don't BS. You know, when I say something, it's what I mean. So when I said the comments about Silas Young and his performance, and that's the first time I ever saw the guy, I meant what I said. So it's cool to be acknowledged for that. And also we got Brodus Clay following us as well. And I'm a huge Brodus Clay fan. And hopefully everything will go cool with him and he will eventually be in the Bullet Club.
You know, shout out to him. We appreciate him following us. And if you would like to encourage others to follow us, we're at the Gerwick Report on Twitter, and we'll plug our other social media at the end of the show as well. But Frank, let's get into the meat and potatoes of our podcast here. With all that said and out of the way, earlier this week, kind of a bombshell, we knew that Vicky Guerrero was leaving WWE. She's been getting some positive accolades, and then I think really kind of out of nowhere, there's rumors that Vicky Guerrero is a subject for a possible induction into the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, Frank, I know she got a lot of heel heat as a SmackDown general manager, as a mouthpiece. She of course, managed other talents, Dolph Ziggler for a time, and tag teams she managed along the way. But, Frank, in no way do I see Vicky Guerrero as a Hall of Famer. I was really surprised that this was even a rumor out there.
Yeah, let's see. Diamond Dallas Page, former World Heavyweight Champion, Theodore R. Long, Teddy Long, who was a guy that was a referee, a manager, and just all about good guy in the wrestling business. Vicky Guerrero, who got hired because of her last name. I don't see her as a Hall of Famer. I don't. And I've never met the woman, and I don't really have any, like, hatred towards her. This is the Gerd Report podcast, and we tell it like it is. And the bottom line is that she doesn't belong in the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't care what she's done. She does not belong there. Because of what? Because of, excuse me? And you got to realize something. When she out, when she's out there saying this, is it heel heat or is it go away heat? A lot of times that I would watch SmackDown and I would see the stuff going on with her and Edge, I'd turn the TV because it wasn't entertaining to me. I didn't find her entertaining. I really honestly thought she was awful on the TV. I never watched any of her segments. None of them. So for them to even be considering putting her in WWE Hall of Fame, either next year or the year after, and you don't have Diamond Dallas Page in there or Big Van Vader or Teddy Long, Sting, Lex Luger, Macho Man, Randy Savage, the list goes on and on. I mean, if you put her in there, then you might as well put in Vince Russo and you might as well put in David Arquette, my opinion.
I guess nowadays, if you have an 8-year run in WWE, that equals Hall of Fame. Because I can't really think of...
So give me an induction for watching all these years then.
I'm thinking back on her career, and I know she managed Chavo, and she was with Edge, and Michelle McCool, and Ziggler, and Swagger, and Henry, and she managed a lot of people, or was affiliated with a lot of WWE superstars, talent, divas. But I mean, at the height of the excuse me, how long did it really last, and how does that justify being a Hall of Famer? And as you said, you were pointing out people who are being shafted right now for Vicky Guerrero. And again, I guess we should... This wouldn't surprise me if this is a WWE trial balloon. They send it out there, see what people's reaction is. Check out with the universe how they react to something like this. I just can't believe this is a real possibility. I mean, I know people could maybe say you can make a case for her based on her background, her career, the excuse me, heel heat, but I can't fathom Vicky Guerrero going in the Hall of Fame. I can't imagine her in any Hall of Fame, let alone the WWE Hall of Fame. So I don't know where this comes from, Frank. I know she seems to be tight with the McMahon family. She thanked a lot of people in her kind of her farewell address. Kind of upset a little bit the Guerrero family as well. That should be pointed out. Penny Guerrero, who is the wife of Hector Guerrero, of course, Eddie's brother, responded that she thanked everybody except the Guerreros. I mean, that is her name, and that's what she is riding that coattail in WWE, and her whole legacy is because who she was married to. And, you know, there's certainly been some heat with her with the other family. And, you know, the sad thing is, Frank, you know, after Eddie died, she really had no communication or no contact with the Guerreros. That's really sad. I mean, here's your husband that passed away, and family's supposed to stick together, and here she is. She's on her own out there.
Yeah, I'm not understanding where this heat comes from anyway. I saw a WWE DVD they did many, many years ago before Eddie passed, and she was on there, Eddie was on there, Eddie's mother was on there, and, you know, I'm just not understanding where this heat comes from. I would think that a passing like this would bring the family more together, and unfortunately, this hasn't happened, and I've read stories in the last couple of years where I've seen, you know, Hector Guerrero come out and pretty much, you know, kind of say things about Vicky because Vicky had nothing to do with Eddie's mom. Vicky had nothing to do with the whole Guerrero family. And I think that that's pretty much BS, especially when you're riding the coattails off their name. You're riding the coattails of your husband. If your husband was still alive, would they necessarily have even brought you into the fold in WWE? I mean, I know Vicky was there doing that stupid angle with Rey Mysterio years ago, but she was hired because of what?
Well, Rey Mysterio's wife was brought in, and she didn't get a job.
No.
So,
they hired her because of what? They hired her because, I guess they didn't save, Eddie didn't save the money or something, or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter, you know, I'm not even going to even go there. It doesn't even matter. The bottom line of the situation is that you have been in the WWE for 9 years, okay? You should acknowledge the Guerrero family. You want to thank people in WWE for this and thank them for that. You said on Monday on Raw that there's one more, there's a name out there that people respect more than McMahon, that's Guerrero. Well, you know what? Give it to Hector and Chavo and all the rest of them that made a way for you to even be in the business.
And on top of that, Frank, we're learning that there's going to be a Vicky Guerrero special on WWE Network on Tuesday night. I mean, I understand, you know, she's leaving and you're giving her the accolades. It's a good send-off, but where's all this love coming from all of a sudden?
Is she the Ultimate Warrior?
I don't think so.
Is she
not
Sting?
Even close.
Is she Sting?
No.
Is she Randy Savage?
No.
Is she Hulk Hogan?
No.
Oh, yeah, Miss Elizabeth.
Not even close.
So why is it that this woman can get a damn countdown show ready in a couple of days to air Tuesday night, but yet Nitro sits on the shelf? What's up with that? With all the content that the WWE Network doesn't have. Oh, we have enough time, though, to put up a Vicky Guerrero special. My gosh, that's going to drive the subscriptions.
That's a good point. I mean, all the shows we've been waiting for, we've said, you know, week after week on this show, the podcast, that we've mentioned the Saturday night's main event and Shotgun Saturday Night and WCW Nitro Thunder. And yet, what do we get on Tuesday night? A Vicky Guerrero special.
I can only imagine. The number 10. Excuse me! Number 9. Excuse me!
We going to see her throw up again?
I hope not. I mean, here, you know, if you want to be honest about it, why can't you do a top 10 special? If you want to do a top 10, right? If you want to do a top 10 theme, why can't you do a top 10 of Eddie Guerrero? Why can't you do that?
That would seem more apropos than honoring Vicky Guerrero. I mean, I got to give her some credit. I mean, she stuck around the business for 8 years or 9 years that she was in WWE. She overcame a lot. But at the end of the day, I just don't understand the accolade she's getting right now. This big send-off. She's getting a TV special on the WWE Network out of nowhere. And to her to be mentioned in the discussions for a Hall of Fame, I really don't get that. There's just, I mean, you study her career. There's nothing to justify a Hall of Fame.
No, you're not.
So,
she wasn't Bobby the Brain Heenan. She wasn't Jimmy Hart. You weren't Slickster.
Nope.
You weren't Mr. Fuji. You weren't Gary Hart. I mean, Gary Hart isn't even in the Hall of Fame.
That's shameful right there.
You know what I'm saying? He's not even in the Hall of Fame. And yet this is being discussed and talked about. But you know what? I guess because Eddie unfortunately passed away, and I thought Eddie, when he passed away, before he passed away, I thought Eddie was the man. Okay, that whole thing he was on, the heel Eddie and feuding with Batista, that was good stuff. And then unfortunately he passed. But you know, it's like they hired her because of Eddie's passing, and she says, "Oh, I wanted to be, you know, close to Eddie and all this other stuff." Okay, fine. But yet you don't acknowledge the family all these years. I guess now, Steve, that the Warrior unfortunately passed away, I guess his wife is not going to get a job, right?
Well, I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, okay, then. That's exactly. You know what I'm saying? That's my point. So I don't see anything on there that justifies her being in the conversation of being in the Hall of Fame. That just makes me just like, that just pissed me off. And I read on Gerwig.net the other day, you know, in the comment section, somebody said, well, maybe they hired her so they wouldn't get sued. Sued for what? What was the lawsuit going to come from? About what? You know, it's just, I don't get it, man. I really don't get it. It's pissing me off now talking about it.
I was just dumbfounded when I saw that. I don't know where that, I just don't understand the love for her all of a sudden. But one person I know, it's not going to be affiliated or will be a part of that special on Tuesday night, is an announcer that got released by WWE, a guy who's been there for a long time. I believe he came from the Tough Enough era, became an announcer, thought did a pretty good job. In fact, I know we were exchanging text messages when this news popped up, and I remember reacting like, yeah, they keep Michael Cole, but get rid of Josh Matthews. Go figure. Thoughts on WWE releasing Josh Matthews?
That really caught me by surprise, to be honest with you. That really, like, you just saw the guy on Raw hosting the pre-show and the Raw backstage pass on the WWE Network, which you could order right now for $9.99. Go to WWE.com and do that. Free plug. It really got me, you know, I understand. I'm like, the guy had to have done something wrong to get released. And it comes out, you know, later on after some news has come out lately that it was part of the budget cuts. And I read that this guy has been around, Steve, for a long time, but he was on the bottom of the list of announcers. No respect for Josh Matthews whatsoever in WWE. And I'm like, wow, that's just unbelievable to me. And now you're going to have that Renee Young, I guess, take over the pre-shows. I don't like the chick. I don't care for her, and I don't care for that damn Byron, what's his name, Byron Saxton. I don't like him either. You know, you released Josh Matthews, and I thought Matthews was pretty good. I thought Matthews was kind of coming into his own. I thought that he was going to be the they put him on SmackDown for a little while there with, I think it was with Michael Cole, I believe. And I thought that he was really coming into his own, and all of a sudden the guy is released. But you keep around Byron Saxton, who sucks. You have this Renee Young on there, and I don't think Renee Young is going to be able to hold the whole panel by herself. You know, well, I guess we'll see tomorrow night, Money in the Bank, if she can do it or not. But I just think it was just a bad move.
You know, I would agree with you. You know, obviously Renee Young is prettier than Josh Matthews, but I'd rather listen to Josh Matthews. I think he did a solid job. Mainly working on some of the B shows or even the C shows with like Superstars and some of the other shows they had, and doing the pre shows and that type of work. I thought he did a really good job. I don't know what justifies releasing him now. I really have a hard time buying budgetary cuts.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it was. I think that somebody has had a vendetta, and they let the guy go. And I just don't really care for Renee Young. I really don't. Renee Young looks like she has like an overbite thing going on or something. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, when I heard Josh was released, I'm thinking, is it something I maybe would do with Kevin Dunn? You know, Kevin Dunn can cut your cords pretty fast in WWE as well. But again, I mean, the guy's been there for a long time.
Yeah, he can cut your cords. I mean, he's a guy who was there, and I can tell you one guy who can't stand Kevin Dunn is that Jim Cornette, man. He can tell you some stories about that guy. But, yeah, I don't get it, man. I really don't understand justifying it. The fire of Matthews, I don't get it. I mean, and is Matthews, where's Matthews going to go now? Is he going to go to TNA? Is he going to go to Ring of Honor? Is he going to go back home? I don't know. I mean, with all the WWE Network programming they have, that this guy could be a host of, like, you know, the Monday Night War or something like that, they just release a guy out of the blue. I mean, imagine that, Steve. Imagine you're Josh Matthews, and you just came home off the road from SmackDown or something like that, and you get a phone call. And they're telling you you're being let go.
After the last round of cuts, anybody gets a phone call from WWE, you'd be very suspicious now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even answer the damn phone.
Yeah.
You can't fire me if I don't answer the phone.
Let it go to voicemail, right?
No, I'm not even gonna do that. I'm gonna call and tell them, hey, you know what? I wanna like get rid of my voicemail service. So you can't leave me a voicemail. I knew nothing about it. And then I showed the TV Monday and said, Frank, what are you doing here? We let you go last week. What? So what are you talking about?
Let me say it quickly about rumors that it's budgetary related. I can't imagine, and I don't know what Josh Matthews made. I can't believe it was a lot. I mean, he was not on the A show. He was not on Raw. He was on SmackDown a little bit, but he was not the lead voice of SmackDown. I can't believe he'd be making that much money, say, compared to JBL or Jerry the King Lawler. I know people will say, well, those are kind of fixtures on Monday Night Raw. But, Frank, if I'm cutting money, if money is tight because I'm losing all this money with the network, do I really need JBL on Monday nights? Because I'm sure they're probably paying him a few pennies to be on that show.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, does JBL equal ratings?
No.
Does Jerry King Lawler equal ratings?
No. Jerry the King Lawler equals checking out Paige. It's about it these days. I don't know. I mean, honestly, the commentary is pretty lackluster on Raw right now. So if I'm going to cut, if it's all about cutting money, then I say goodbye to JBL. Because obviously he's being paid far more money than Josh Matthews. Because JBL is not going to come back from the financial world to work for WWE for pennies. He's getting some nice greenbacks from Vince. So if it's all about cutting money, you don't really need three announcers on Raw. I'd say goodbye to JBL then.
I just don't really see what JBL brings to the table. I never thought JBL was all that good of a promo guy, to be honest with you. I just never saw it. So, I mean, he's not Justin Ventura.
No.
He's not even...
Nope.
He's not even Scott Hudson. You know?
I don't think he's very good on Raw, to be honest with you.
I don't think he is either. I mean, he's not. I mean, hell, might as well fire him and just bring in Shivani.
I mean, you might say it's the product. You're only as good as what you work with, but I don't think he really elevates anybody on the show. He's not that entertaining to listen to.
I don't think. I think sometimes he just goes overboard, man. But he goes crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and then Jerry Lawler's on there with his wandering eyes.
That's what I mean. That picture on Facebook I saw where he's checking out Paige.
Yeah.
Jerry will be Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry will be Jerry until he's Jerry Asher.
Well, he basically is now, isn't he?
Yeah, but he can't. But you can't. Hey, you can't. Yeah, I mean, but no, there's no more Jerry Asher than old Ric Flair.
Well, I maybe after what happened with Jerry Lawler and the heart attack thing, that he may have solidified his place there. They don't want to get rid of him. To me, and no disrespect to Jerry, but I mean, the guy's not been funny in how many years now?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Jerry Lawler can't be funny, see, because Jerry Lawler doesn't have anything to be funny about. You know, this is not the era of puppies and all that other stuff he used to do. I mean, I saw Jerry Lawler last night. I happened to have been watching the 1996 Ticket Back. I was watching the Ultimate Warriors DVD, which is now on Netflix, by the way. Isn't that crazy? On Netflix.
Yeah, more content coming to Netflix.
Yeah,
wrestling
Netflix.
Content.
Exactly. You can join Netflix right now for $8.99 a month. So,
but I thought WWE Network was better than Netflix.
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm watching the Ultimate Warriors DVD last night. I'm watching this match he had with Jerry Lawler at the King of the Ring '96. And you talk about heat, man. You talk about just the heat that Jerry Lawler can possess. Crazy. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's crazy. And you don't see that now. You see a very tamed Jerry Lawler. And you're right. The guy, you know, they probably don't want to take a spot because of the heart attack, and Jerry's been a fixture there for years.
You were saying he was funny during, like, the Attitude Era with the puppies, but he was funny when they had him in the 90s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just talking about when he really, really got his real push, when people really started noticing his commentary was on the Attitude Era, when people really, because it got more sexual, got more vulgar, and that's what Jerry Lawler was all about. That's what he was all about in Memphis. I mean, the guy called what's the guy's name? I think Jimmy Valiant was on there, right? And he called him a fag on national TV, right? And it's like, I've never heard anybody say that on anything. That's the type of stuff that Jerry Lawler would do. So if you got that, and you go right here to the WWE, which the guy has nothing to work with. Nothing. What is exciting about today's product? You don't have any pyrotechnics anymore to open the show, right? It's the same thing every week. If it's not Triple H coming out, it's Stephanie coming out. If it's not them, it's Randy Orton. Robotic on a mic with smooth in the ring. That's Randy Orton. So what does he have to be excited about, man? There's nothing there. The pay-per-views, I mean, he even said himself, you can't be excited anymore about every WrestleMania. You can't be excited about every pay-per-view anymore. It's just a job. You know, at first I thought, you know, maybe they used to go out there and they would have fun doing it. Now it's a job. Now you just go there because you're in the contract, they're paying you money, you do it, you leave. I mean, Jerry Lawler even does, the guy doesn't even keep him with SmackDown. He doesn't watch it. So you know, and that's the thing. He doesn't even watch SmackDown. So that ought to tell you what he really thinks on the product. He watches the show he's on. That's it.
Yeah, there's no more Jacqueline, Trish Stratus, Sable puppies from back in the day, and there's no Stu Hart to make fun of his age anymore, as he used to do back in the day as well. So
right. There's no Sable anymore to have handprints on her breast and while they're going crazy in the ring. You can't. There's no more doing that. You know. There is no more of that.
Well, let's shift our thoughts.
One thing, Steve, real
sure.
Quick. If anybody gets offended by what I just said a minute ago, I want to make it very clear, that's not Frank D's opinion. That was Jerry Lawler's.
Right.
Just want to put that out there because, you know, today in society, everybody has to be politically correct, or somebody out there is going to get mad. So I just want to point that out.
And as we're finding out, things can be taken out of context pretty easily.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Let me put the disclaimer out there.
That's right.
Well, Frank, to move on from there, the Dead Brand this week had triple tapings in New York City. And there's a lot of positive buzz, I guess, coming out of these tapings. There was close to full houses, if not full houses, each night. There were Spike TV executives there. We got good reports from the fans that a lot of the matches were very good. And we'll give a spoiler alert right here, because we're going to definitely get into the results. We're going to talk about the tapings, because obviously, Frank, we know the storylines now for the next several weeks in TNA. So we're going to talk about match results and where they're going with different characters, etc. So if you don't want to hear the spoilers, you know, fast forward about 10 minutes or so. But we're going to talk about what happened with these tapings. But Frank, after what's happened and some positive vibes finally coming from TNA, are you going to maybe reconsider calling them the Dead Brand?
No, I'm going to call them the Dead Brand with Life. That's what I'm going to call them. I'm not going to change my tune on TNA just because they did 3 days of tapings and they got positive reviews. You're in New York City. Of course you're going to get positive reviews. Okay, what happens after New York? That's going to be the thing. And I understand that, you know, Kurt Angle kind of promo the other night. Spoiler alert, reboot of the company happened in New York. Well, we'll see how long that lasts. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you did in New York. It's where you're going to go from here. And I'm the type of guy who will give credit where credit is due. And once I start watching what they did in New York, I might reconsider calling them the Dead Man. But until then, they're the Dead Man. Doesn't matter. I mean, in a ratings show last night, I mean, the ratings were now seen because of the NBA draft. So it doesn't really matter. And these were fresh tapings. This was the second taping they did in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So they're still the Dead Man, in my opinion.
The NBA draft.
All right.
The NBA draft affected the TNA audience.
Absolutely.
Okay. That in the local news, and was it whatever was on PBS?
PBS.
PBS, TBS, pick one. I mean, they come up with, you pick any show, they say, although that was on Thursday night, Frank, so that obviously affected their ratings.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. See, I thought you said PBS there. That's what I
Yeah, PBS. Yeah, yeah, PBS, yeah. TBS. I mean, take your pick.
What were they competing with, Reading Rainbow or something? I mean,
Fox Business, yeah. Bravo. I mean, pick one. I don't know. I mean, Frank, there's something's on every night.
No,
it's called cable. It's called satellite. There's like 700 channels.
Yeah.
Something's on every night, right?
Right.
So, I don't know.
They can justify it any way they want. It's okay.
Yeah.
We've come to understand how wrestling TV shows work, and the whip is no different. If the whip goes out there
right.
on Monday nights and their ratings are low, they'll say the same thing. Oh, there was some damn hat convention on TV that everybody was watching, and they didn't want to watch Raw. They can do
That's
that.
That's right.
Or the old Westminster Dog Show was on. Yeah, well, everybody was watching a bunch of dogs, and they didn't want to watch Raw.
Must have been an infomercial was on.
Yeah, they were too busy watching Fido over there. And, you know. Yeah, that was the problem. They had a marathon of Gilligan's Island on, and nobody wanted to watch Impact.
Well, I think to judge the success, and again, we've heard reports that it was a full house, and we don't know exactly what the attendance figures were.
Yeah, but how do we know for TNA marks there sending this report in?
Well, that's what I mean. I'm going to wait to see what Dave Meltzer says in the Observer, because he really is the source for attendance figures, and not just worked numbers, actual numbers. He'll find out exactly how many people paid, how many people were comp. So we'll get a more accurate reading on these shows. But I guess at the minimum, if they ran pretty full houses, then I guess maybe they could justify saying that they're backed by popular demand in August, because they weren't before that. So.
Well, I mean, that's like I said, that's fine. I'm going to give TNA all the credit in the world if they're doing a good job. And what I mean by a good job is pay your talent.
Well, I think we got to wait and see if these tapings yield ratings. Because I remember, Frank, they've taped 7 episodes in advance now.
Right. And that's just insane.
That's crazy. So you can go on Gerwig.net right now. You can find results for July 3rd, July 10th, July 17th, July 24th, July 31st, August 7th. And August 14th. So if you want to know what's going to happen on these episodes, just go to GirlWake.net. You're going to find out exactly what happened the next 7 weeks.
Great.
So it's in the vault. I mean, I remember back in the day, Frank, when remember when Raw would do one live show and then tape the next couple episodes?
Right.
But now, if three or four episodes in advance isn't enough for you, now you know 7 weeks in advance. And I guess essentially they're done now until August when they do the next set of taping, so they can probably tape seven more episodes and lead up to October and Bound for Glory. And Frank, we found out that Bound for Glory is Bound for Tokyo.
Right.
Basically, I guess for the TNA heavyweight title situation, we're going to find out that this week Eric Young will get his rematch, and obviously Bobby Lashley will retain, so that, again, spoiler alert. Bobby Lashley's also going to face Jeff Hardy during the tapings. Jeff Hardy wins a battle royal to earn a title shot, so Jeff Hardy is back. He was back with his brother Matt. Matt and Jeff had a match with the American Wolves, which sounded really good. Bobby Lashley also faced Austin Aries, who won the X Division Championship, and then puts it aside to go after the World Heavyweight Championship, only unsuccessfully. So we're going to crown a new X Division Champion. And it looks like, Frank, based on these tapings, that they're going to go full-fledged with Bobby Lashley as their Heavyweight Champion.
Well, you know what? What else are you going to do? I don't have a problem with that. If they're going to build Lashley into an unstoppable force, unstoppable monster, who is just going to run through the entire roster until he gets down to one guy. And the one guy that's going to go up against Lashley that's probably going to end up beating him for the belt is going to be Bobby Roode.
You know, something I was thinking, Frank, too, if you were going to switch the title between now and the next tapings, I mean, would you really have Bobby Lashley lose like 5 weeks from now and have it taped and have it known all over the internet that whoever the next guy is going to be beat your champion, and you can watch the match 5 weeks from now?
No, and I'm going to make a bold prediction here that if Kurt Angle is ready by Bound for Glory, and if Kurt Angle is able to go, and he has not left the promotion, and he hasn't gone back to WWE, I can see a Lashley versus Kurt Angle match for the World Championship at Bound for Glory. Either that, or it's going to be Lashley versus Buddha or somebody. But there's a reason why they're doing a show in Japan.
I mean, you talked about this before, that the TNA roster a lot of times it consists of WWE rejects. You've been talking about maybe Mason Ryan eventually going to TNA. Well, they did bring in Gene Snitsky and Ezekiel Jackson at these last set of tapings. I don't know, moving forward, if they figure into the plans, because after the first tapings they were on, they didn't show up for the rest of the tapings. But, Frank, what is the point of bringing in Snitsky and Ezekiel Jackson to the tapings in the first place?
Well, first of all, I haven't heard a thing about Gene Snitsky in years. The last time I saw anything about Snitsky, he was doing some damn Power Rangers movie or something like that. I read on the internet. And that was the last thing I heard about him. As far as Ezekiel Jackson goes, guy just got recently released a couple months ago from the Whip, and I didn't really think anything of when he was in WWE. He just didn't look like, you know, the guy that, I mean, they gave him a run with the IC belt. They didn't do anything. I know he was part of the core. I know back in the day he was the kind of bodyguard for D. Brian Kendrick back in the day. But other than that, I don't know why they would even bring the guy in.
And I guess the highlight of the taping will culminate on the final night of these set of tapings with Bully Ray finally putting Dixie Carter through a table. So that'll be what fans finally will get a chance to see is the president go through a table via Bubba Ray, or I should say Bully Ray.
Well, that is actually a pretty good ending to that situation. And hopefully them doing that keeps Dixie off TV, hopefully permanently, and she won't return at all. There's no place for Dixie at on TV.
Amen. There's no place for her in the company, period.
Yeah.
Let alone on television.
Well, that's what people say.
Well, I think they're justified, especially when she's being forced down your neck week after week.
Right.
But we were talking about Bound for Glory. Dixie Carter, along with the great Muda, announced that on October the 12th, TNA Wrestling goes to the Tokyo Dome for I guess it's going to be a pay-per-view, Frank. We didn't get a press release. I got a press release for Bobby Lashley winning the TNA Championship. I got a press release when Eric Young won the TNA Championship. I didn't get a press release for TNA's big announcement that the Dead Brand's going to Tokyo. So I can only assume, Frank, that this show will be taped. They don't think they're going to show this live at 2 or 3 in the morning Eastern time. So it looks like the number one pay-per-view of the year, Bound for Glory, will air on a tape-delay basis here in the United States. But then again, Frank, I guess what do they care about the United States fans? Because they're not paying for their product anyways.
Exactly. And I don't know whose idea it was to even go to Japan when you have a rabid fan base in the UK that had been promised for years that they were going to bring a pay-per-view to London. And it hasn't happened. And you choose the Japanese market over your UK fans. Even Jeremy Borash said, a couple months ago, I would move the company to London because we have a rabid fan base over there that wants the product and enjoys the product. I don't really give a damn about them not being here in the U.S. I can care less. But to screw over your UK fans for the Japanese fans, you've never run in a Japanese market before. You've never been there. That's really mind-boggling to me. Who made that decision?
It's interesting to me. I would have thought this would have been the time for the WWE to announce that they're going to run a pay-per-view in Great Britain, or they're going to run a pay-per-view in Japan, because with the time difference, they can say, well, if you're subscribing to the network for $9.99, you already ordered the show anyways. And if you miss it, you can see the replay on the network.
They're doing all these budget cuts, Steve, so I'm really not sure they want to go do a pay-per-view broadcast in another country right now.
Well, that's probably true, but maybe when they go to the foreign markets, when they start really billing the WWE Network overseas, maybe they could do something like that.
Yeah,
but
how many people right now overseas in the international markets right now, how many of those people actually right now have found a way to get the WWE Network? I read a lot of things on the WWE Network's Facebook page, and there's a lot of people talking about they're having streaming issues, and these people are in other countries. So how do we know that we don't know that. We don't have an answer to that.
It's almost like the black market for the pay-per-views.
Right.
People find a way to get the network for free somewhere else.
That's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. People have found a way through whatever means they have, they're getting a network. I'm telling you, people in Australia have the WWE Network. It's not even available outside the United States, and somehow they've got it. So,
I was seeing the other day with Lance. Lance Storm was talking about the network. Is Lance Storm getting the network in Calgary? I don't know.
I don't know. He was on there, though, right?
Right. He talks a lot about the network. I'm thinking, is he watching the network in Calgary?
I guess he is.
Maybe. But, with TNA, we also found out that one of their former tag team champions was with LAX. I thought was a really good big man, could really move in the ring. I could really see this guy going to WWE and making an impact if they push him that way. But we found out that, Hernandez is no longer with the company. And I guess, Frank, he basically found out he was fired on the internet.
Right, yeah. I read that story. And it was on, I guess it was from the, I guess you get an interview with BetweenTheRopes.com. And I actually went back and actually listened to the interview that Hernandez was on when he was talking about the situation. Apparently he said that he hasn't heard anything from anybody in management, hasn't been in contact with anybody in TNA except Bob Ryder give him an okay for his indie bookings. But he hasn't heard from anyone in TNA since the November 2013 Feast of Fire match that he was on the tapes. He hasn't heard anything from anybody. And he said that he found out his contract was up, I believe he said May 12th. His contract was coming up. And he found out via the website, ImpactWrestling.com, TNAWrestling.com, that he was no longer on the roster page, and that they had unfollowed him on Twitter. And on top of that, see, check this out. He sends Dixie a text message saying thank you for the 8 years that I've been a part of TNA, and thank you for the opportunity. Do you know that as of today, she still has not replied back to him?
That's shameful. At least put out a public statement, say thanks, Hernandez, for the great 8 years with TNA.
Right.
You probably know who Hernandez is.
Well, here's the thing that I found interesting, too, is Hernandez says that he asked them if he could take the year and go down to Mexico and go down there and get over, and then, you know, he would go down there and get over, and then he'd come back up and get a big singles push. And he went down there and did that. He came back up, and his singles push was done. They said, we're going to put you in a tag team. You're going to tag team with Anarchia. And he said, in his own words, we're going to give you a third-rate version of LAX with Mexican-Americans. So he wasn't really happy about that.
Can't blame him.
No, I don't blame him. And the fact that
the guy was red hot with LAX.
Yeah, and the fact that the guy can't even get a damn text message back or reply back from your boss, that's just crazy.
That's pitiful. But what we've seen with TNA lately, how they're dealing with talent, doesn't really surprise me. And it's sad to say that, but we've heard a lot of stories about what goes on behind the scenes with TNA and how people are treated. But to reach out to the boss and thank him for 8 years and not even get a reply, that's pretty pitiful.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, we were talking about Josh Matthews going back a bit, and we actually lost a very good wrestling announcer. It was announced that Larry Nelson, formerly of AWA, had passed away. And, you know, in my childhood, I watched a lot of AWA wrestling. It used to be on ESPN. We would get the syndicated show in our area. Larry Nelson was a fixture on that show. He usually was a studio host. He wasn't the play-by-play voice. It was usually Ron Trongard would be the play-by-play voice, and Larry Nelson would be in the studio, or he would do backstage interviews. I always thought he was a very entertaining guy to listen to, and I thought he was a solid announcer, a great personality. I've heard a lot of great things said about him over the years, and I was really saddened to hear the passing of Larry Nelson. Obviously, being a big AWA fan as I was back in the day, and just want to send my condolences out to the friends and family of Larry Nelson, and rest in peace.
Absolutely. Myself personally, I did not grow up watching the AWA. I didn't. It was long gone in 1991 is when we folded, and it wasn't on my area. It was the WWF and the WCW. That's all we had. But looking back on some of the stuff I've seen, yeah, he was, first class all the way. You know, I'm gonna be frank about this one. So cancer is a bitch. Of any kind. And he went from, he died from pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer is a bitch. Pancreatic cancer is something that you can't beat it. So you really can't beat any kind of cancer today because they don't want you to beat it. It's unfortunate that, this guy lost his life. And like you said, we send our condolences to, friends and family. And hopefully the WWE Network will start loading up some of those AWA episodes. So a lot of people like myself who, weren't around, when AWA was around, we can go back and look at some of the stuff he did.
I was really surprised. I saw Boris Zukov put out a message about Larry passing that was sad to see him go. I was really surprised some of the former AWA talents didn't do more. And maybe I just missed it with social media, Facebook, Twitter. I reached out to Marty Jannetty on his Facebook page. I just thought, could you say anything about Larry Nelson passing away? Because obviously the Midnight Rockers came from the AWA. I thought maybe Shawn Michaels would say something about Larry Nelson. I expected something from maybe Greg Gagne to make a comment about Larry Nelson, who basically worked for his dad all those years. And if I missed any of those, I apologize. But I kind of expected a little bit. I think Eric Bischoff acknowledged Larry Nelson's passing, because obviously Eric Bischoff worked for AWA back in the day. But I kind of expected a little bit more from people that was associated with the AWA, Gene Okerlund, etc., to even Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, some of these guys to make public statements that, they remember Larry Nelson fondly. And I don't know, I was a little surprised that there wasn't kind of more of an outpouring, because usually when a wrestling personality passes away, there's like an outpouring for this individual, and I was just surprised. Maybe maybe it's because Larry's been gone for so long, but I kind of expected a little bit more from former associates, former employers, former announcers. I guess I expected a little more outpouring for Larry Nelson. It just wasn't there. I just didn't see it. Did you see a lot for Larry Nelson out there?
No, I didn't. And it doesn't really surprise me because I didn't see a lot for Lee Marshall either.
That's true.
So
that's right.
It doesn't surprise me at all. And then, you know, you bring out like Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels doesn't deal with death. He doesn't deal with wrestlers' deaths because Marty Jannetty was talking to him. They were at some autograph signing. And Marty Jannetty was talking to him about all the guys that have passed that were in their generation. And Michaels really didn't want to talk about that.
Gosh, you think the big Christian guy like HBK would at least acknowledge that Larry passed away?
Yeah,
or rest in peace.
Yeah, but Shawn might be a Christian. But my God, man, I saw a Shawn Michaels DVD a couple of years ago where he was on the stage with Michael Cole and the guy was dropping John Hulk Hogan. He called Hulk Hogan a dick. That's how Christians talk, huh?
I don't want to judge anybody on their faith, but I just would expect, I guess I really expected more from people that are still around that came through the AWA territory that would have known Larry to at least acknowledge his passing.
Well, just,
like
I mean,
said,
Greg Gagne would be one.
Exactly.
I would think,
yeah.
You know, Greg Gagne would be one. I would think we'd hear something from, Jim Brunzel.
Larry Zbysko. Larry Zbysko was there.
Oh, yeah. Jim Brunzel.
Sergeant Slaughter, Hulk Hogan. Hogan's always on the Twitter.
Yeah, Larry.
Making comments.
Larry Hennig. Larry the Axe Hennig.
Larry's out there. Although I don't think he's on social media.
Yeah, but these interviews have a way of getting around. I wouldn't expect to hear anything from Hogan. You know, I'm not even looking at Hogan to say nothing.
Doug Summers, I think, is still around. I know Playboy Buddy Rhodes has passed away.
Yeah.
But Doug Summers, I think, is still on social media, Facebook. So, although a little disappointed by that. You know, when somebody passed, you like to hear, you know, people say positive things about them. And maybe, like you said, maybe, didn't say a lot about Lee Marshall either. And Lee Marshall was around for a long time as well in the business.
Right.
So.
And Lee Marshall was around just as recently as WCW. So.
Right. True. Well, Frank, Sunday is Money in the Bank. And as we head towards the pay-per-view, we know the matches now. We know who's going to be in the WWE title ladder match. We know who's going to be in the briefcase match. I guess on paper, as you look at this card, Frank, thoughts on this particular card? You think it's a strong card? And you think this is a card that can, for the remaining people out there in the pay-per-view world, is this a pay-per-view that people should go out of their way and check out?
I think that the ladder matches are going to deliver. I think that the ladder match is going to probably be the better match, simply because you have Kofi Kingston and you have Dolph Ziggler in that match to do all the high spots and do the insane bumps. So that was going to be pretty good there. I was looking at the World Heavyweight Championship, and there's been some unfortunate rumors going around that they're probably going to get a belt from Randy Orton, and that would be a terrible decision because they just gave Orton a belt last summer. We're going to go through this robotic Randy Orton phase again with the Authority, and I just hope we don't go in that direction. I'm really expecting a lot out of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins in this match. I think this match is going to like further their feud, so I'm looking to see their interaction. I'm looking to see what Cesaro does in this type of an environment with the ladders. And, I mean, Alberto Del Rio is not going to win nothing. Del Rio is just as a body. They just say, hey, we need to put another guy in the match. Oh, there's Del Rio. He's still on the roster. So let's get him. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, who do you put it on? It's too soon for John Cena. Nobody wants to see that. Orton just had it. You know, the only guy in there that I would give it to would be maybe a Cesaro or a Bray Wyatt. I don't think it's time for Roman Reigns yet to have the belt.
Well, apparently there was a artwork already released for the SummerSlam DVD.
Yeah.
And it featured John Cena and Brock Lesnar. So there was already speculation that John Cena might win this match.
Yeah.
The championship. And then Lesnar would face Cena for the championship.
Yeah,
at SummerSlam.
And I really don't. I mean, I mentioned this, you know, on a couple of podcasts ago about the scenario of that match. And also, Daniel Bryan, if Daniel Bryan had been there to compete, it would have been him versus Brock at SummerSlam. for the championship, which Brock would have probably went over in that match. David versus Goliath, pretty much. But in this situation here, I mean, Lesnar came back and Cena, you know, they had that match at Extreme Rules, and, you know, Lesnar just beat the hell out of Cena the whole match, and then Cena came back with the Superman gimmick and beat Lesnar. I don't want to see that again. That doesn't get me excited. I don't want to see Lesnar versus Cena at all. I want to see something fresh. If you want to do something fresh, what about Lesnar versus a Cesaro? Or Lesnar versus Roman Reigns? Or about, you know, Brock Lesnar versus a Sheamus? There's a lot of things you can do with Brock on one of Brock's limited pay-per-view appearances.
Are you ready for two Divas matches on this pay-per-view?
No, I'm not. I'm not digging Paige at all. I don't know what people see in Paige. I just don't see it.
I don't want to go match by match and give predictions because I don't think nobody really cares about, you know, who you predict. We'll just talk about real briefly. We got Big E against Rusev. We've got Summer Rae against Layla. We have Rayback and Curtis Axel against Goldust and Stardust. We have the battle for the penny belts. The Russos against the Wyatt family, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. And then, Frank, I guess with these ladder matches, this is probably the ones that people really care most about. And you came up with a scenario last time of having somebody injured, knocked out of the Money in the Bank match for the contract, and having Brock Lesnar come in and get it that way, earn his opportunity for SummerSlam that way. We know that Bad News Barrett is hurt. He's winning the Gerwig.net poll. Most people think that Bad News Barrett will win this particular match. I don't know, Frank, who do you see coming out of this particular field? Because I think it's pretty wide open. I think they could go a different direction with Seth Rollins winning this one. I think they could go with Dean Ambrose as kind of a wild card. When they have this match on Sunday, who do you think wins the briefcase?
It's whoever is believable in winning it. It's like, do you give it to Dolph Ziggler? Dolph Ziggler's been a jobber all the time. So Dolph Ziggler's credibility is wrong. Do you give it to Kofi Kingston?
No.
No? Kofi Kingston is just there as a token guy that they have in the match. You know, they got to have more in there. So, no, you don't give it to him. From what I understand, Wade Barrett has a separated shoulder. That's what I'm understanding this. So
right.
My scenario was that Brock Lesnar come out there at the end and destroy everybody and get the Money in the Bank briefcase, cashing in at Money in the Bank, or cashing in at SummerSlam against whoever the champion is at that point. But going out of it here, I mean, I don't know. See, it's really up in the air right now as who's going to win this match. I don't know. I mean, I would have picked Bad News Barrett, but now that he's injured, I don't know. I mean, he could go out there, and if he could work it, he could hold the briefcase for a couple months. But, I mean, where I get the guy to separate his shoulders. I don't see how he's ever going to beat.
Well, you know, your scenario is, you know, Brock Lesnar could take out Barrett, and he gets in that match. He takes his spot.
Right. But, you know, the thing about it is that most of the people, everybody knows that Barrett's injured. So they would already smell a rat if Barrett's
right.
Out there competing. Oh, well, they're not going to let him wrestle. He's probably going to get taken out by somebody. So you're going to be not watching the match. You're going to be looking at the analog wave to see who's going to come out.
And then if you have to make a prediction for the WWE Championship, I guess maybe the better way to approach it is if you're booking, Frank, and you've got Del Rio, Wyatt, Cesaro, Cena, Kane, Orton, Roman Reigns, and Sheamus, who do you give the belt to on Sunday?
I give it to Cesaro, because Cesaro would be different. Cesaro would be something we've never done before, and that also sets up tension, because here's the deal. Cesaro is already borderline babyface. They got to get Paul Heyman away from him. I think Paul Heyman has not done anything for Cesaro. Nothing whatsoever. I don't think the association has worked at all. And I don't know why they even did it. I really think that they've killed a lot of Cesaro's momentum. Is what they've done was since they've lined up with Heyman. And only the smart mark wrestling fans out there cheered when Cesaro got aligned with Heyman to begin with. But Heyman, you know, kills the heat. Heyman kills any momentum that Cesaro has when Heyman starts talking about the Undertaker's treatment ended by his, you know, by his client, Brock Lesnar. So if I were booking this thing, I would have Lesnar come out there and destroy everybody in the first ladder match, so the contract ladder match. And then I would have Cesaro win the WWE Championship and start creating tension right there between these two. and then Heyman has to make a decision. And the decision that Heyman makes, it will be to go with Brock Lesnar. And then you can have Cesaro and him feud maybe for the rest of the year. So it's time for some new meat. It's time for some new stuff to go down here. You know, I don't want to see Cena versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I don't want to see it.
No, I don't either. Or Orton versus Lesnar or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, Orton is smooth and rainbow. Roll by and go to Mike. I mean, the guy, they booked Randy Orton to crap since last year. I mean, how many countless walls did he last year of Orton just coming to the ring and everybody's standing on the stage and coming out there doing the same shit every single week or the constant Daniel Bryan beatdowns? Nobody wants to sit through that this year. Nobody wants to sit through that, all that garbage again. It was week after week after week this guy was getting beat down. Week after week after week of Randy Orton and the authority and all that. It's just overwhelming and overbearing when they just shove something down your throat. You know, just don't want it.
But don't forget, Frank, Sheamus is a bully.
Well, Sheamus is a bully who gets his ass whooped. That's what happens. That's what I hear. That's what I read.
That's the word.
He's a bully, but he gets his ass kicked.
So don't expect him to win the championship on Sunday.
Well, here's the deal. Don't mess with Orton.
That's right.
Don't mess with him. I mean, even Drew McIntyre found out that hard way. Don't mess with Orton. He ain't going to take your crap.
You can fall asleep during a pay-per-view, but don't fight him.
Fight him.
So, there you go.
Hey, don't mess with Yoshitatsu either.
Well, Frank, let's get into our mailbag section. We did hear from our good friend Ravon, and we've also heard from Max. Max was the guy who asked you why you called WWE the Whip.
Right.
And this time he wants to know, is the WWE Network available on smart TVs? And, you know, I kind of had this thought as well because I have a smart TV. You know, you can get Hulu, you can get Netflix, you can get YouTube. But I don't think there's a way necessarily for you to get WWE Network on a smart TV.
As far as I know, they just opened up a new platform the other day.
Amazon TV, it's on now.
Yeah, but as far as like the regular smart TV, I haven't heard anything yet about that.
I don't believe so. No. I can't on mine because I don't have a way to put a browser in my TV to put, you know, WWE.com. So as far as I know, I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't believe so either. And I keep up with pretty much anything that happens on the network. As far as like when they're adding content or when new platforms open up like Xbox One, etc. So I have not heard anything about it being on the smart TV yet. But it's probably going to be either the summer or the end of the year. You'll see that happen. You'll see it move on to smart TVs. That's always my goal because you get on smart TVs and you get more people to, hey, I can watch it through my TV like Lance Storm says.
Because I was always thinking something like Crackle is something I watch on Roku. So I can watch Sanford and Son, I can watch Seinfeld, I can watch Good Times, Three Stooges. But I don't think you can get Crackle on a smart TV either.
No.
Because I don't believe so. If we're wrong, you can correct us, but I don't believe so.
I have not heard anything about it. The only thing I know they opened up the other day was Amazon. They have it on Amazon, whatever the Amazon.
Fire,
whatever it is. Yeah, they have it on that. But I can tell you one person, Steve, out there who watches, who actually has the WWE Network, right? This guy here has the WWE Network. He was on the search engine of the network and browsing around and trying to find some stuff from NWA and WCW. And he typed it in and he couldn't find anything that he was looking for. So that kind of got him. He's like, I thought this would have a lot of more content on it, a lot more stuff. So he's basically, kind of like the rest of us, he's been going to YouTube. Now, mind you, YouTube is WWE's enemy because of all the copyrighted, infringement going on, all the copyrighted material, right? Well, you know who this guy is that has been going on YouTube watching matches that he can't find on the network?
Who's that?
Hall of Famer, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Really?
Yes. All right.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's been YouTubing like the rest of us because he can't find what he wants to watch on the network. isn't that wild?
So one of your highest profile wrestlers, the man of the 90s, a Hall of Famer, he's a very public guy, he does podcasts, and he says, I can't find the stuff I really want to watch on the network.
Right. He said he can't find anything that he wants to watch from NWA, WCW, he types it in search, and nothing comes up. So he goes on YouTube, and he finds.
Well, I agree with Stone Cold.
I agree with him, too.
Absolutely. I there's things I want to look for on the network. It's not there. Right. So, yeah. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Let's go to... I'm sorry, Frank. Okay, let's go to what Ravon has for us this week and his usual weekly shout-out and thank us for answering his questions last week. Again, two more thought-provoking questions this week.
Right.
My first question is, has The Undertaker ever submitted in a match during his career? And my initial reaction was no, I don't recall any, but Frank, is there a possibility he submitted to Kurt Angle?
There is a possibility, but he submitted, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it was a win. So, as far as I know, until I do further investigation into the matter, The Undertaker never submitted. I might be wrong about that. I mean, God, Taker's, been around for years. So, I have never personally seen Taker submit, but I'll definitely look into it. And when we do a future podcast, I'll let you know a definitive answer.
I was going to say, it's impossible it's on a house show, just like maybe the Bret Hart question, what he had for us.
Yeah.
I don't recall it. If it happened, people can refresh our memories, but I don't recall it ever happening.
Yeah.
So, second question this week is, do you think if Chris Benoit didn't kill himself back in 2007, do you think he would have had a WrestleMania match with The Undertaker or even feuded with him? And I would think probably a good chance that would have happened, Frank.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they would have had a match for the streak. I think Benoit would have probably lost it. But yeah, he definitely would have had a match with The Undertaker, and he definitely would have probably feuded with him, definitely. You know, that's just unfortunate. Yep. You know, that happened 7 years ago now.
Wow.
It's just bizarre, right? To even remember that it actually happened. It's just crazy. It's just wild. You know, it's just one of those unfortunate situations that you wish never would have happened. And I look back at some of Benoit's matches now on the WWE Network. You know, I'll skim through something, and I just look at all the risks this guy was taking. You know, getting hit in the head with chairs, headbutting off the top rope and hitting that mat. It's just like a lot of stuff that happened probably could have been prevented.
And real quickly, I want to acknowledge that Ivelas and Serena Deeb on Friday night wrestled for the Shine Championship, and they wrestled to a 60-minute time limit draw. Of course, Serena was in CM Punk's group back in the day in WWE. A 60-minute time limit draw, Frank. It's been a long time since I remember them having a 60-minute time limit draw on a show like this.
Yeah, especially involving two females.
Exactly. Yeah. So shout out to those two. That's tremendous. I wouldn't mind actually seeing that match.
Yeah.
So if you're inclined to order a Shine show, and I should mention that the next Shine show, that's funny to say, the next Shine show is on August the 22nd. So if you want to check out your pay-per-view provider. We also should note, Frank, that we were talking about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view on the last podcast, and supposedly Matt Sydal was supposed to be there.
Huh.
Evan Bourne. In fact, he was expected to be a part of the show, and because of his 90-day no-compete, he wasn't allowed to do it. They tried to get permission from WWE and kind of waive that, and they said no. So he can't be there till September now. So, but after that, we would fully expect Matt Sydal / Evan Bourne to return to his roots of Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
so.
I was trying to reach out there and get an interview with Mr. Sydal, but now that we found out these situations about the no-compete, I understand why he necessarily wouldn't be available for an interview right now.
Probably don't want to say anything that would jeopardize that at this point.
Yeah.
Because basically after the 90 days, you're still being paid. Or during that 90-day cycle, you're still being paid, which is why they don't want you to work for a competing group.
Yeah.
Such as Ring of Honor, so.
I understand that.
Because I remember him tweeting during the day that he was headed towards Nashville. He was there. I guess he helped some of the talent backstage. But he couldn't get the permission from WWE. They wouldn't waive that 90-day no-compete clause, so that he wasn't used on the show. So maybe on the next show we'll see Mr. Seidel return to Ring of Honor. So. Yeah. And with that, Frank, I think that's going to be our podcast for tonight. Definitely encourage people to go to Gerwick Report on Twitter. I'm Gerwick on Twitter. I'm also Steve Gerwick on Twitter, the anti-NWO Twitter. Frank D is Real Frank D on Twitter. I'm Steve Gerwick on Facebook and Gerwick.net. Like us on Facebook as well. And Frank, we got to plug these again. The platforms for people to listen to our podcast besides Gerwick.net. You got iTunes. You can download the podcast, listen to it on your iPad or iPod. You can listen to us on TuneIn. Download the app. Look for Gerwick on there. And Spreaker as well. Go on Spreaker. Just type in Gerwick, and you'll find the Gerwick Report podcast. So feels like we're growing, Frank, and more ways for fans to check us out.
Yeah, and also I wanted to make an announcement here really quick that myself and the Wrestling Jackal will be coming up with new content to the Gerwick Report, and basically it's going to be we're going to start reviewing some of the pay-per-views on the WWE Network, see, from back in the day. It's going to be pretty much a retro review of some stuff that's on the network, and the first one that we're going to review is going to be NWO Sold Out 97, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'm hearing more and more that the Wrestling Jackal is going to get involved in doing some podcasting for us, so that's interesting. It's another addition here to the vast library of great content we provide here at Gerwick.net.
Absolutely.
So we look forward to that, and we definitely appreciate you listening. As I said, if you're not going to order the Money in the Bank pay-per-view or not going to check it out on the network, go to Gerwick.net. Michael Ribba will have live coverage of the pay-per-view Sunday night. Definitely check out our Raw coverage on Monday night. And we look forward to the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. Always appreciate you listening to the show. And if you like the show, always encourage you to go on Facebook, Twitter, put it out there that you enjoy the Gerwick Report podcast. Spread the word. And as always, we appreciate the support here at the Gerwick Report podcast.